week, for the whole week. Therefore, we have to appoint an acting chairperson to chair today's meeting in terms of section 92.2 of the SOP rules. Therefore, I would like to invite members to appoint the acting chair.
Thank you very much and good morning to everybody.
We wish him a speedy recovery. I'm thinking of the name of Honorable Makua to become the acting chair.
Is there any second to the nomination?
Yes, Chair, I do second.
Is there any other nomination?
No.
Mr. Makua, do you accept the nomination of an acting chairperson?
Yes, I do.
In that case, you may, congratulations, you may take the seat as the acting chairperson of the Black Committee on Economic and Business Development.
Thank you very much, honorable members. We are appreciative of your attendance this morning. Want to welcome you. I was not here last week, but you were all here. So allow me also to wish you everything that's good and prosperous for 2017. To also then welcome all members from the Department of Labor, the DG and your team. Thank you very much that you're here to present to us your performance for 2015-2016. Thank you. We've received the presentation timeously. Our admin staff, Martins, copied the wrong package and therefore is not here. So apologies to members that you don't have the correct package that will be presented to you. It has, however, been shared via email with all of us. I have to make use of the secretary's copy as well. Thank you, Secretary, for leading us in that first part of the meeting. In terms of apologies, honorable members, we have an apology from the Deputy Minister. We also have an apology from Honorable Timunia. Oh, here's a written apology to from the Minister. Why is it? Over the Minister and Deputy Minister. It's in one letter from Greg Skirman. Then you're confusing me. You said to me that the Honorable Faber will be in 15 minutes.
I said
Honorable Lond. Honorable Lond. Oh, okay. So we note the presence of Honorable Lond from Western Cape, Honorable Ntebe from Northwest, Honorable Dikgale from Limpopo, Honorable Vauda from Mpumalanga. Or is it Mpumalanga? Are you from the Mpu? Oh, okay. And then, I'm embarrassed now. Honorable Magwebu from the Eastern Cape. Can I ask members that there are two meetings for today? That in order to prepare for this afternoon's meeting, that you extend my position as chair to this afternoon as well. Then I can prepare properly for that as a chair. Honorable Bowder is in agreement. Is there any opposition to that? Thank you. We have the agenda for today. We've done with the welcome. We've done with the apologies. Oh, the Honorable from KwaZulu-Natal. Mr. Mthethwa, the Honorable Mthethwa, we don't have a written apology for him, am I right? But they are busy. He's caught between these two committees. He wants to be here, but he's a whip of another committee. And that committee is doing oversight. I've said to him that he must clear it with the chairperson, with the chair of chairs. But there's the committee that he's a whip of is doing oversight, and I think it's a substantive reason why he's not here, but he's not submitted a written apology. So we have from the members, Honorable Timonia and Honorable Father, on that exception. Martins, you were not here when we wished everybody a prosperous 2017, but it includes you, because I've been informed that you are getting our packages for us of the presentation. Thanks very much. Honorable members, we are having two meetings today. We are having now with us the Department of Labor, and in the afternoon at 2:00, we will have a meeting of an entity of the Department of Labor, which is Productivity SA. It's exciting work that they are doing. And I invite us all to be here for that presentation as well. I've not seen, Secretary, the minutes of our last meeting, the meeting of last week. Do we have the minutes of that meeting? Where are they? Has it been circulated? Members, have you seen the minutes of last week's meeting? It wasn't sent. I haven't seen it. Can we make sure that every member then gets a copy? Martins, do you have a copy of the minutes as well? Towards the closure of the meeting, so the procedure will be that we'll ask the department to do their presentation, we'll engage with the presentation, and then just before we close the meeting, we would request the adoption of the minutes. Martins?
There's two sets of minutes, sir.
There's two sets of minutes.
Yeah, we didn't adopt the first one and the first meeting. So there's two sets.
Grace, note that you mustn't do this to us. When we have to adopt the minutes, you know me. I read the minutes beforehand and give you my corrections before we get to the meeting. I've not seen either of those minutes. Please send it to us before the meeting. It just helps with the procedure in the meeting. DG, Mr. Lamati, can we hand to you? But before we do that, could we get an indication of the duration of your presentation?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member, and good morning. Chair, our presentation is going to take 45 minutes.
45 minutes.
We have arranged it in such a way that if the committee agrees, they are slides that we're not going to present. Our focus will be on the areas that we did not achieve and provide reasons to the committee as to why we have not achieved those targets and what is it that we're doing to achieve. I think that's going to be the area. and also given the nature of the committee and what the committee does, we'll focus on the work that we do in the provinces. So we've disaggregated our information based on the input and the contribution of each province in the bigger scheme of things. So that is going to be our focus.
Thank you. Thank you very much, DG. We get excited when you mention provinces. As you know, we are all from our different provinces, and we look forward to that elaboration on the engagements of the department within the provinces. 45 minutes is fine. You may proceed, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me begin by introducing the departmental delegation that I'm with here. As you know, my name is Tobile Namati. I'm the Director General of the Department of Labor. Sitting next to me is Marsha Bronkhorst, who is the COO of the department. And the official sitting next to her is Mr. Wedile Dwengu from my office. And at the corner is Mr. Mutiba, who is the CEO of Productivity South Africa. And right at the back, the gentleman is working on the iPad. His advocate, Jackie, who is the head of my office. Sitting right next to him is Mr. Dave Kyle, who is the acting chief financial officer of the department. And the lady right next to me is Ms. Eki Moilwa. She is the deputy director general responsible for inspection and enforcement services. And next to her is the new DDG straight from the box. She has just joined the department. She's Ms. Mahumi Matebesi, responsible for corporate services. And next to her is Mr. Sam Murotoba, who is the DDG responsible for public employment services. And right next to Mr. Murotoba is Mr. Virgil Cecil, responsible for labor market policy and international relations. And the gentleman wearing a white shirt there is Mr. Greg Schneeman, who is the chief of staff in the office of the minister. And the gentleman sitting here is the director of communication, Mr. Mukhati Bile. He's the director for communication in the department. I think I've mentioned almost everyone. Chair, I would like to preface our presentation by stating the following, that this is a 2015-16 financial year presentation, and we're doing it in 2017. A number of things have since happened since this performance. I would also like to say that the 2015-16 performance of the department should be seen in the context of the 2014-15 performance of the department, which was sitting at 42%. And the 2015-16 depicts an improvement in the performance of the department compared to 2014-15, which was sitting at 42%. The overall performance for 2015-16 is 50%. And the committee will see when we do the presentation of the different quarters of the 2016-17, you'll see the improvement in terms of how we performed. And we'll share with the committee the steps that we've taken to improve performance in the department. I'm going to ask the COO to run through the presentation. I have a bit of flu, so I don't want to ask for the committee to excuse me every now and then. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, Chairperson. Thank you. Good morning, Honourable Members, Honourable Chair. I am, as the Director General has indicated, going to focus on the provincial performance. There are, however, a couple of slides I would like us to focus on before we go to the nitty-gritty in terms of provincial performance.
Can I just interrupt you, Honourable Bowder?
Thank you, Chair. I've just noticed, Chair, it has been brought to my attention, presentation to the Select Committee on Labour and Public Enterprises. Is it the same presentation, or?
I noticed it as well and interpreted that as a mistake.
I apologize for that mistake, Honourable Member Chair. Can I then, as I was saying, there are a number of slides that we would like to focus on before we go to the nitty-gritty in terms of provincial performance. And the first slide I would like to draw the Honourable Member's attention to is that slide number 6, which talks about the legend which we have utilized in the presentation. Green would be 100% complete, 100% achievement of that indicator. Partially achieved would be 75 to 99%, and 0 to 75% would be not achieved, the red. If we then move to slide number 8, and Chair, if I go too fast, I'm sure you'll put brakes on me, but I assume because the documents were sent quite some time ago that you've had ample time to study them. I would like to look at the annual performance per strategic objective for the Department of Labour for 15-16. And there you can see the outcome, as the Director General was referring to, a 50% performance over that year. The first strategic objective, that of contribution to decent employment creation, we had 9 planned indicators, of which 4 have been achieved, which relates to a 44% overall achievement. The second one, protection of vulnerable workers. 7 planned indicators, 3 were achieved, which talks about 43 overall achievement. The strengthening of multilateral and bilateral relations was 1 planned indicator, and we have indeed achieved all 1. The strengthening of occupational safety protection, there were 6 planned indicators, of which 4 were achieved, which translates to 67% overall. The promotion of sound labor relations, we had 2 planned indicators, and none were achieved. Monitoring the impact of legislation, 1 planned indicator, and none were achieved. Strengthening the institutional capacity of the department, we had 18 indicators, of which 8 were achieved, 44% overall achievement, and then the promotion of equity in the labor market, where we had 6 planned indicators and 5 were achieved, which relates to 83% performance overall, and that brings the average performance of the Department of Labor. Of the 50 planned indicators, 25 were achieved in that year, and that brings us to a 50% performance level. If we can continue to slide number 9. Here I have broken it down as per branch of the Department of Labor. We had in the branch administration or program 1, 18 indicators for that financial year, of which 8 were achieved, 44% overall achievement. Inspection and enforcement services had 16, of which 10 or 63% were achieved. Public employment services had 9 indicators, of which 4 or 44% were achieved. And then labor policy and industrial relations had 7, of which 3 or 43% were achieved. Again, the 50% that I alluded to earlier. Slide number 10, excuse me, here I'm just relating to targets that we set in terms of the E&E, and this is how we are awarded or allocated funding by the fiscus and voted for the program. The number of workplaces or employers inspected and reviewed per year to determine compliance, the target that we set up, that we had in the E&E was 172,334 inspections. The department managed to overachieve or surpass that target to 186,871 inspections. The number of work seekers registered on the Employment Services of South Africa system We had a target of 600,000. We managed to register 634,503 work seekers. The number of work seekers registered that we provided with employment counseling, our target was 250,000. We managed 208,989. The number of work seekers placed in employment opportunities, the target was 25,000 in the E&E, and we managed to place 10,927. The number of pay scales assessed to per year to reduce the gaps in the minimum wage determinations was 4, and we managed to achieve 4. Chairperson, that takes care of the overview, and if you will allow me, I will now immediately move to the provincial performance as per the key programs of the department. And the first one I'm going to look at is program number 2, which is inspection and enforcement services. It is slide 24. And as you see there, it would be for the financial year 2015-16. If we move then to slide 25, I would like to then focus more on the performance of provinces, and if, Chairperson, if you will indulge me as a committee, I will focus on the provinces that have not achieved or have partially achieved in terms of their performance. First and foremost was the indicator, the number of designated employees reviewed per year to determine compliance with employment equity legislation. And here you will see that from Limpopo, in the Limpopo province, there was an underperformance. The target was 30, they have achieved 9. Western Cape fell short with 1 inspection against the target that we expected of them. They did 205, where the target was 206. And I'm sure you can see from the other provinces that there were some provinces with substantial overachievement. If you look at Eastern Cape, you look at Mpumalanga, they have had a substantial overachievement. 1.2, the percentage of non-compliant employees reviewed who were issued with recommendations within 90 days. Here, the province that fell very short was Free State, 4 against the 38 that they have inspected. Northern Cape, 14 against the number that they have inspected, the number that were, sorry, not compliant was 35. The same with Northwest, and the same with Western Cape. 187 of the 205 workplaces inspected did not comply, and of that, 142 were issued with the recommendations. If we continue to slide number 27, I would just like to focus on slide 27 for a moment, because although there is no underperformance, this is the inspections that we do in terms of procedural, if I can use the word, compliance to the employment equity legislation, as well as the issuing of enforcement documents. All provinces achieve this. The next slide would be slide 28. And here we have two provinces underperforming in terms of the number of employment equity plans that were reviewed, which were not assessed, and that was Free State, who did 76 in terms of the number that they had to do, and then Mpumalanga, who underperformed with 46. The employment equity plans that were assessed, the number of plans that were assessed and issued, you will also see that Free State, Limpopo, and Northern Cape underperformed. If you will allow me to move to slide number 50. This is the inspection of workplaces, the work that is being done by our inspectorate in provinces. All provinces achieved the targets except for Western Cape. Their target was 14,304. They achieved 12,454 of these inspections. If we continue to the next slide, slide 31. Then here we talk about the enforcement that we do in terms of labor legislation. If employees are found to be non-compliant, the enforcement documents that are issued. And you will see that there's a number of provinces here who have not achieved and overall caused the department not to achieve in terms of our indicator. In Free State, there were 876 workplaces found to be not compliant, and documents were issued to 804 of these workplaces. Mpumalanga had 1,358 employees non-compliant, and 1,274 were dealt with in terms of the legislation. Northern Cape was the same, 851 were found non-compliant, 845 were dealt with in terms of the legislation. And then again, Western Cape, where 6,092 workplaces were found to be non-compliant, and 5,324 were dealt with in terms of the legislation. The next slide is slide 33. The department does, as part of its work in a partnership with the Department of Home Affairs, inspections at workplaces where employers apply for work permits to bring in foreign labour. And the Inspection and Enforcement Services is tasked with doing these inspections for us to be able to make a recommendation to the Department of Home Affairs. You will see in this area that there is a vast sea of red in terms of the inspections, and what the problem was here is the 5 working days in which these inspections have to take place. It was not always possible. In terms of Free State, we have received 13 requests, and 11 of those were done in 5 days. Our big challenge here, you can see, is Gauteng, where there were 528 such requests, and only 189 were done in 5 working days. KZN, we had 108, of which 96 were done. Mpumalanga had 69 requests, of which 57 were done in the 5 working days. Northern Cape had 9, of which 7 were done. And then in total, as you can see, only 63% of our requests were done in the time frame. One of the reasons, therefore, is the non-availability of employers to schedule these inspections within 5 working days. One cannot do an inspection if the employer is not available. The next slide is slide 35. Here, only Western Cape has not managed to inspect the number of workplaces in terms of occupational health and safety compliance. All the other provinces have managed to achieve their target. And then of all the provinces, only Northern Cape did not manage to issue the enforcement documents as per the legislation. And here it is, Northern Cape's a structural problem. I'm sure you will also appreciate the vast province, and that it sometimes does take time to be able to deal with these matters. Slide 37. The percentage of reported incidents, this is now after or when there was an incident in a workplace where someone was injured or fatally injured, and we set ourselves a target that we would have loved to have 60% of all these incidents investigated within 90 days and to be finalized as far as possible. Here you will see that there are 3 provinces which partially achieved. Firstly, it was Free State, who has achieved a 55% finalization rate, Mpumalanga a 48% finalization rate, and Northwest with a 44% finalization rate. And often this is dependent on technical experts that we have to source, witnesses that have to be available and so forth in order to finalize this within 60 days. Then the last slide that I would like to talk to in terms of the Inspection and Enforcement Services is the number of payroll audits that were done in terms of the Unemployment Insurance Fund to determine the contribution rate, whether the employer firstly is registered with the Unemployment Insurance Fund, slide 39. And here also we see that Free State and Western Cape have not managed to achieve the targets as they were set out. That takes care of inspection enforcement services. if you will allow me now to move to public employment services, which would start on slide 44. First and foremost is the advocacy campaigns that we conducted as a department to familiarize our clients with the new legislation. And this indicator you will see we have overachieved in totality as a department. However, KZN and Western Cape has not managed to reach the target. They had to do two, and they each did one. The next one, in terms of public employment services on page slide 45, would be the number of local campaigns which had to be done. Again, there was a vast overachievement collectively as the Department of Labor, yet Gauteng and Western Cape again managed to not to achieve the target. Let's come to the things that I think you would be more interested in terms of the numbers of work seekers registered on the employment services system. You will recall earlier that I said in the E&E our target was 600,000. Collectively, we did 634,503, but there are provinces which failed to meet the target. Firstly, it was Free State, who was underachieving by 13,000. Gauteng was just over 20,000 underachievement. Limpopo had an underachievement of 3,000, and Western Cape an underachievement of 7,000. However, the other provinces more than made up for that. I'm not going to talk to slide 47, but I think it's an interesting slide to give more detail as to the work seekers database, the data of work seekers that are in the employment services system. Slide 48 talks about the employment counseling. You will also recall from the previous slide that we only managed 208,000 people to be counseled, and here the only province that did achieve was KZN. All the other provinces underachieved in terms of the numbers of people that they provided employment counseling for. Public employment services, the slide in slide number 49, in terms of the numbers of work seekers placed, I'm sure you heard when I did the E&E that here the department achieved less than 50% of what was expected, only 44%, and there's not a single province that has managed to achieve its target. Well, the province coming closest, I think, would be KZN in terms of the target. The next slide, 50, where the Department of Labor, in terms of the number of job opportunities we had to register on the employment services, our target was 62,000 for the department. You will notice that we managed to register 102,000 of these job opportunities, and all the provinces overachieved in terms of this indicator. Slide 51, the registration of private employment agencies and temporary employment agencies. Here there were a number of them that had to be processed within 60 days. And you would see that the provinces Gauteng, KZN, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, Northwest and Western Cape did not meet the targets as was expected. It was processed after 60 days. Slide number 52, the applications for foreign national corporate and individual work visas. You will recall earlier that I referred, when I discussed inspection and enforcement services, we spoke of about the 5 working days which virtually no one achieved. Here, that would impact also on this indicator because the two are linked. You cannot make a recommendation without getting the inspection report. So here we would have seen that there are a number which were processed beyond 30 days. And I'm not going to look at the detail thereof. The applications for foreign visas in terms of individuals, again, here we look at the numbers that we have received, and again, it's the same situation as the previous slide which I have discussed. Chairperson, that would take us now to labor policy and labor program, which is not a program which is in provinces except for the generation and submission of reports. But it's not broken down in terms of detailed performance, and I think for the sake of that, I will stop the presentation here. Thank you.
No, I think you should lead us through the main policy. It's a very important element. And the industrialization.
Thanks, Chairperson. We will then look at slide 57, which talks about the Employment Equity Amendment Act, which has to be implemented. We had to do 9 workshops on the Code of Equal Pay for Equal Work Value, and that indicator was achieved. 9 of them were done. We also had to amend the Code on the Employment of People with Disabilities, which had to be published by March 2016, and that was indeed done by November 2015. Slide 58. The continues with the Employment Equity Amendment Act implemented. In 2014-15, annual Employment Equity Report register had to be published. That was indeed achieved. Also, the annual Employment Equity Report and public register had to be published by 31 March, and that indeed has been achieved. And then City Companies Income Differentials Assessed to promote the principle of equal pay for work of equal value, and that was done by March, 31 March of 2016. If we look at slide 59, here was a partial achievement in terms of to grant or refuse applications for exemption within a set time frame. We have received 75% of these, but we have only managed to deal with 75 applications. We only managed to deal with 75% of these applications for exemptions. Then, Chairperson, in keeping with the previous part of the presentation, I'll only look at the partially achieved and the not achieved. The next slide is slide 62. The number of collective agreements extended within 60 days of receipt. 32 collective agreements were extended to non-parties, and one of these were extended within 60 days, and 31 were extended in longer 60 days. And here we have received the labor relation amendments to the section 32 does not make provision for the extra 32 days, so it's a structural issue in terms of the legislation that created that problem for us. Then 5.2, 100% of competent and completed labor organization applications processed. This was also partially achieved. Only 97% were done within the 90 days. We received 134 applications were considered and finalized. 10 approved within 90 days, 119 refused. 3 were approved in longer than 90 days, and 1 was refused in longer than 90 days. Slide 64, the impact of legislation, labor market trends report, also a partial achievement here. By 30 March, 2 annual labor market trends reports were produced. They included the industrial action report and the annual administrative stats report. And then in June 2015, 2 annual labor market reports were produced. And by September 15, 4 of these reports then were published. Which was outside the time frame. If I then can move to slide number 66, the second to last slide. The average performance of the department was at 50% for that financial year. 78% of the APP 2015 indicators and targets were well above 75%, and only 22% were below 75%. So, in fact, 22% were totally not achieved in terms of our legend, and then the rest were above 75%, with 50% fully achieved. In terms of administration, the performance has dropped for quarter four, and that was affecting our annual performance. And stringent monitoring in 2016 of the remedial plans have been adopted. IAS has significantly improved their performance throughout the 2015-16 financial year. In public employment services, I'm sure you've noticed that there was a large number of indicators that were performing below par. And we have changed our systems from manual to automated, and it resulted in tighter controls and therefore stringent quality assurance measures, and that had an impact on the numbers as well. And then LP and IR had significantly improved performance from quarter three to quarter four, and that has led to the performance improvement. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. It was within good health. members I know, it was a bit of a fast one. I don't know how to the extent to which we've been able to keep pace, but I think it has been set, and we're going to find this happening all the more in our committee meetings now, that we have to read the report before the meeting. We're going to have shorter time in our meetings. Can I throw it open? We thank you for the presentation. Can we get members to engage with what has been presented to us? Should it be that you are raising a matter that is not in the presentation but might be within the printed report, just draw our attention to that. Should it be a matter that you raise that is not mentioned at all, you're free to do so, but just say to us that this is a matter that has not been addressed so that we can follow each other. In your hands, honourable members. Honourable Vauda from Pumalanga.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I was a bit concerned about the presentation, and I noticed the other members seem to be a bit, you know, usually they take the stage before I do, so I'm wondering what's going on. I'm a bit critical of the way this report is presented to us. It's really a presentation of the strategic plan that they have and the achievements that they've made in that strategic plan, rather than a report of what has happened. Now, yes, there are areas in there where they've given us the tables and so on, which makes it a lot easier. I think the rest or most of the report seems to be a presentation of the strategic plan and its the achievement of its objectives. And as a rule, I'm not really one for strategic planning sessions and so on. So I think I want to be a bit critical of that and find and ask why is it that it's been, and it's what I raised a little bit earlier. It seems to be a copy and paste type of thing, and I think we deserve something a little bit more detailed and also better analyzed than what we have in front of us at the moment. Thank you, Chair.
We'll attempt to respond to you now, but let's have Honourable Ntebe. First, Honourable Ntebe, don't respond to Honourable Vauda. Raise your points, please.
Thank you, Chair. Now, Chair, I think the DG will be sympathetic to the views that I'm going to be raising, because I raised them the last time, DG. That in a inherently in a department such as yours, bestowed with the responsibility of maintaining and creating a conducive environment for industrial peace, and you have an indicator that says you are going to be having a concerted effort in the promotion of sound labor relations, and you target 2, and none is achieved. And we're sitting with the mining industry almost in the area of volatility because of the job shedding, whether you call it retrenchment that is coming and whatever. And this indicator is not achieved. I come from the Northwest, a highly mining area. We're sitting with people who are losing jobs on a daily basis because of the low commodity prices that are now beginning to shape people into the market that is going to be unable to absorb them. And we are unable as a department to achieve what we set to. The effect of drought, the people who have suffered more are the vulnerable groups, not owners of the production machines in this sector. We have not even come close to addressing such issues. And yet we are sitting from 32 last year to the last financial year, now an improvement of 8%. I think we can do more.
But I think, DG, we have not even come close to addressing the issues that we raised the last time. In fact, this was just a cosmetic exercise to adhere to the requirement that we are coming to the committee of which we are presenting. But the issues that we raised last time, that the department needs to be up and running, making sure that the issues that are bestowed to you, whether according to the constitutions or the establishment of the department, are being done. We're not close. I can tell you now, there are issues about inspections that we raised. That, look, we think that the inspections are a necessary tool, but inspections have not been serving purpose for over years. What is it? What are mechanisms? And we got an assurance from you, DG, and the team, that no, as the department, we have also looked into that. We are trying to improve in terms of our inspection, because we said, look, it does not serve a purpose for compliance sake. Go and inspect and what? You go inspect and what? If there's no consequences for non-compliance of laws in this country, what are we doing? In fact, I even made an example that in the Northwest, for instance, they are notorious for non-compliance, and they are even brave to say, we will take you to court. And in some instances, they even refused to unlock the gate so that inspectors can access the workplace. And these things are not finding expression quite prominently in the report, but they are not also saying, in moving forward, when we do our own assessment, what is it that we are going to be doing? So I thought I should raise it, Chair. I think we can live by it. The department has said, look, we know that we have not achieved. In the exact word by the DG, he says, look, see it from the perspective that this is what we are, this is where we are coming from, this is where we're going. I think we can agree to that, but we need to see more effort to try to address these issues. Thank you, Chair.
Would you mind if we give them an opportunity, because there's fewer of us, to respond to the two honourable members, and then we go for further engagement from members? DG, do you want to respond to the two members and interlink between them as well?
Thank you very much, Chair, and the honourable member. Firstly, let me start with the report. I think sometimes we are limited by the formats that we've been given to report on. Now, if the committee requires us to provide a more detailed report, that we can do. In fact, we are starting to do that for our own sake and also for the Portfolio Committee on Labour. Now that we know that that's what the committee would like us to do, we can provide the committee with a detailed report on all the indicators that we will report on. So it was a question of following the prescribed format. Secondly, on the issue relating to the failure by the labour market policy to achieve the targets, yet there are a lot of challenges in the labour market. I think when it comes to that, our approach is that, for instance, on issues relating to labor peace, we have an entity that is solely responsible for that, which is the CCMA. When the CCMA appears before the committee, the CCMA will indicate to the committee what is it that that it is doing, especially with regards to its strategy called Senzumehluko, which is focusing on making sure that at a workplace level, the relations between employers and workers they improve. So the CCMA will give you a detail on what is it that we're doing to make sure that there's peace. You're right, jobs are shared on a regular basis, and we are concerned. However, we're interacting with the mining sector as a Department of Labor. We run a number of programs. Honorable Chair, you recall that we also have a program called TLS, which is a training layoff scheme. Through that, we've been able to save quite a number of jobs, even in the mining sector. So when the mines are about to retrench, they inform us. We sit with them. We discuss what are the options available, so that we can save jobs. And in a number of instances, that approach has worked. Secondly, we also, once the workers are retrenched and they claim the unemployment insurance fund, we don't just give them the money, but we put them through a program called Labor Activation Program, which seeks to retrain them so that they are available for any job opportunities. And the requirement has always been that whoever is claiming unemployment insurance fund benefits, especially the ordinary benefits, they must register on our employment services system so that we have them on our database as work seekers. What that does, it actually helps us to make sure that whenever there are job opportunities that we have on our system, those people are placed based on the skills that they possess and also on the requirement of the employers based on each job opportunity. So that's what we do to help all those who have been victims of retrenchments. The effects of droughts that affecting largely vulnerable people. Well, there are a number of things that government is doing, not necessarily the Department of Labor. I know that the Department of Agriculture is working tirelessly to minimize the effects of droughts, not only to the farmers, but also to the employees as well. So we're working together as government departments in this regard. The issues raised with regards to inspections and non-compliance, maybe it's our fault, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Member, that in the statistics that we showed you, we did not indicate to you what happened to those companies that were not compliant, were found not to be compliant with the law. Because as the law says, if an employer is not complying, the inspector must issue the requisite notices. And if the employer does not comply with that notice, the employer must be prosecuted. And we have taken a number of employers to court, and we do have the statistics to that regard. In fact, you mentioned the Northwest. In Northwest, it was one area that we had a number of successes, where employers were prosecuted for not complying with the Occupational Health and Safety Act, and we can share that information with the committee and the honourable members. I think it's just a question of not talking about it, but the statistics is actually there in the presentation. I think it's slide 31, you'll find that. So we are doing something. And in instances where our inspectors have not been allowed to enter the workplaces, they report that to us, and we do something about it, because the law says an inspector can enter any workplace anytime. And in instances where they are prevented from doing so, we go straight to the South African Police Services for us to accompany the inspector to go to the workplace. And secondly, we take those employers on, because interfering with the inspector while he or she is doing his or her work is an offense. So we take that very, very seriously, and in instances where we were informed that this is what is happening, we have acted. I think those were the questions. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you very much, and sorry for that disturbing noise. I don't know what is causing it. It can be the laptops. There is some other funny thing. That's, we are the People's Parliament. There's no secrets in what we are discussing here. So it's just that it's disturbing to the ear. Can I say two things? The one is that it is apparent from the two comments that we are saying there are certain other elements of your work that we'd want to have in a report, but we are not being to the point. So can I request members that we agree that what we'll do, particularly Honorable Bauda and Honorable Mtebe, to either engage with the chairperson or to put it in writing to say that in the next appearance of the department before the committee, these are the particular things that we would want them to give attention to, and you can list as many as you like. Talk to the chairperson or put it in writing, because my fear is that we mustn't invite them again and then they assume that this is what we think that you need and give us a report which is again not addressing us. But I think this team from the Department of Labor, you see, many of us are concerned about job creation. And we might incorrectly be assuming that you are responsible for that. I think you are more tasked with the responsibility to look at an enabling environment rather than the creation of jobs itself. But even with that enabling environment, if we listen to Honorable Ntebe, he is saying that we feel it's not recursive. But then, just the second point that I would want to make is to say your parliamentary liaison officer, I don't know who it is, Chris. He'll have to follow our program. Like we hear now, this is going into our third year. When we do oversight, we've never looked at the work in practice of what you're doing in the Department of Labor. We are planning an oversight for March, which will in all probability be in Mpumalanga. So Honorable Bauda and Honorable Timunia would need to help us to say that in terms of labor, these are specific things that, of course, you are there on the ground to say that we would want to know why this particular farm, how are the workers being treated there, what is happening there in this particular factory, in that department of government, wherever we've picked up that the environment needs the intervention of the Department of Labor, that we engage them so that we can have that practical on-the-ground engagement with you as well. So your PLO would have to communicate with our secretary to make sure that in our March oversight we do incorporate some of the work that you're doing in the area. We can't do the whole in Mpumalanga, but he'll hear from His Gracia which areas in Mpumalanga we would be visiting. Let's then continue with the questionings. I have noticed the hand of the Honorable Mahwebu. He's from Eastern Cape.
Thank you, Chairperson, and once again, thank you, DG, for the presentation. You know, I'll say this with due respect. You know, your performance is really depressing, very depressing. We've said with many departments in the recent past, they are doing their utmost best, given the challenges, but to see that 50% is really unacceptable. I say this with due respect. You know, after I saw this, I felt like walking away, but I realized that, you know, we need to help each other here. You see, I'll just tell you my observations, and take it or discard it, but I'll tell you, maybe you'll find the reason here. I've just looked at your presentation, but I must echo the sentiment that I'm not happy with the presentation, but I'll take the guide, I'll take what the chairperson has proposed, that I'll list what I want, because I thought you'd give us the executive summary of what is in your annual report so that you could go to all programs, you know, your good governance, corporate services, and what, all of you. We're interested in everything. Don't assume that because we're NCOP, then you must just give us, you know, the data in the manner you did. It's not helping us. You know, 2 years ago, Parliament passed a legislation and the ESSA, you know, Employment Services Act. I'm sure you know the purpose thereof. South Africa is sitting on a ticking time bomb. It's sitting with a serious high unemployment rate. 9 million South Africans are unemployed. 16 million are beneficiaries of social grants, so they live on welfare or social security, as it went. So it totals to 25 million, half of, probably half of our population, people who are really hurting, vulnerable, who are poor. And the intention of the legislature, when Parliament toiled and labored and got that legislation passed and given to you as the Department of Labor to make sure that the administration of this act is in your capable hands. But I am worried this morning that you are failing the South Africans in the manner you do business. You are, this is my observation, you seemingly succeed in issues that I call they are in the periphery, but in the main, you are failing. You overachieve or achieve or slightly achieve on compliance and enforcement, on equity matters. Yes, they are important, but are they in the main, given that you are failing on issues that you have been given a task to really run with them in the Employment Services Act? I'll make an example. In your own statistics, look at page, let's look at page 15. You said the 102,631 employers registered or indicated the, let's just go to that slide. I think it's page 48 before me. 250 work seekers provided with employment counseling. And then 208,861 provided with employment counseling. You underachieved that. Now, your comments, they leave me cold. Because we are in a country where half of our population are people who are poor, and you are not helping the South Africans to empower them to find jobs, give them the capacity, give them counseling for employment. But you are exceeding in advocacy and running around in the province, which is good, spending money, running the advocacy. But you never get to a point where you deal with the issues that to me I call rubber meeting the road, the nuts and the bolts, where people are given the skills to empower them to be meaningful citizens and to be economically active. That's my worry. And again, if you look on another slide, I think slide, just bear with me, slide number 49 again. Your target there was 25, and you didn't achieve what you didn't achieve. The deviation was 14,000. You fell short by 14,000 plus on your target. The comment leaves me cold again, with due respect. Slide number 15, your very own presentation that I'm not happy with anyway, but I'm on record on that. Number of opportunities registered on SM. 102 opportunities registered. Deviation was 40. More local advocacy campaigns conducted increased due to the number of opportunities registered by employees. number of opportunities registered by employees were there, but you couldn't place. Am I right in my interpretation? You couldn't place the people. People are there, they want work, and the employers are saying, we have work, we are registering the opportunities. Here are the opportunities. You couldn't facilitate that, link the unemployed with the prospective employer. You failed. This is very depressing. And with due respect, you're talking about shortage of resources, but we're sitting with the team of DGs. You seem to be strong and bloated on the top, but the people who are supposed to bring services to the people, you claim that you lack resources to do that. You lack capacity to do that, that is the human capital to do that. But you are strong on your top structure. Somewhere, somehow, this is very, 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 very selfish. This is unacceptable, and it's killing this nation. It's not helping us. As I said, it is depressing. One feels like walking away and they just give up on you, but we cannot do that. I'm just analyzing. I would raise my issues. I've studied your annual report, but I wanted to go on governance as well. You're talking about lots of cases that I'm worried, 72 cases on fraud and corruption. I am the fraud and corruption examiner. I know the issues. Still in the report, you're not even telling us what kind of cases you've done. 36 cases are disposed. What happened to the outstanding? Because now we are in the new financial year. I heard the DG saying that you'll come, maybe the picture has improved. To me, I'll cross that bridge when I get there. I'm not very hopeful, but I wish I could be proven wrong, and I would keep an open mind to that. But bottom line is, this is very depressing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Lord, did you want to come in? Can I come before you?
Well, you're chairperson, so you can choose when I can come in. It's covered. Okay, I've got one quick...
Speak in the mic, Honorable Lord, it's fine.
Chairperson, the colleagues in the committee have touched on some of the issues, but one that I've raised before, and I'm actually putting this to you as well as chairperson. We have only seen the minister in this select committee once, I think, since we started this term. And then the minister left after a few minutes. I think the deputy minister has been here two or three times. I'm not sure about that stat. But, chairperson, we've raised it time and time again that there must be some political responsibility as well. And I'm putting this to you to answer, what are we going to do in order to get that addressed as well? Because we're raising it with the officials every single meeting, or quite often, but I don't think we see any improvement on that. So that's to you.
Thank you very much. I have never heard that complaint raised in the way that you're raising it here in a meeting. We may raise it in the House when the minister speaks there, which is a different matter, and it's for that House to deal with it. If you're raising it here and we have it minuted, then as Chair, I need to respond or take action on it. Because you've raised it in the way that you have done, I promise to raise it with the minister and then give you the minister's response on the matter. The question raised by the Honourable Mokhwebu, you'll have to respond to, but let me add to that. My question would be, why has the PS board not been established yet? And that's part of a bigger question. The PES isn't, for us, a very important aspect of your work. And in your report, you are indicating that the targets were not achieved due to insufficient staff. But then there's an amount of 43.6 million that was transferred from the compensation of employees through a variment, obviously. So we're not worried about the accounting aspect thereof. But to say that where the Honourable Mokwebu raises the question is that he's saying it looks like you are having a staffing constraint and you had the money to be able to deal with that. Or are we reading that situation wrong? That's my first question. My second question is you refer to the IT system challenges. Now, that was a problem that we have had early in our democracy, and I thought that we have improved tremendously as government in terms of dealing with IT systems challenges. I was amazed yesterday when I went to go and renew my driver's license at the post office, not at the Department of Transport. They have a notice up there to say that all these other things you have to do with the Department of Transport. The question that I'm trying to speak to is how, between the Department of Transport and the post office, they have this IT system that works. I've been with SARS. I've seen that it works in SARS. We've seen the problems in Home Affairs. We know that it now works in Home Affairs. What exactly is the problem with the IT systems in the Department of Labor? When we look at the fourth industrial revolution in which we find ourselves, we recognize the importance of using IT. Is there something that's blocking the Department of Labor with the utilization of that equipment in your work? Because you see, where we're sitting, when we visit our constituencies, we meet many people that are saying that we are unemployed. And we say, do you register? And they say, registering with the Department of Labor doesn't benefit us at all. We want to be able to promote you as a department and say, but no. If you register, you're sure that there would be results from that. At the moment, we get a sense that that IT problem is seriously holding us back. And then, DG, you have indicated that you will point out to us how you are addressing some of these things in the 2016-2017 report. Now, we don't want you to go through all of them, but maybe you want to respond on IT and highlight two others, just to build up our confidence, because the response that I get from members here is saying, but no, we're not happy with a 50% performance. So if you can show to us maybe two further examples on progress that you're making in that regard. My final question would be to say that, you see, if you listen to Honorable Lont, who's from the Western Cape and his concerns, and you listen to my concerns from Gauteng, they may not be the same. You see, we don't have vineyards in Gauteng. So we don't worry about production at that level. We worried about services, and we worried about the manufacturing sector, which is not as big in Western Cape as it is in Gauteng. So if you give us a report for the province, is it possible then that you could specifically look at what are the key economic drivers within that province and how can we improve on the performance within those drivers so that we can grow the economy in a meaningful way? I know it's not Department of Labor's responsibility, but you are in the economics cluster. And the sense that we get is that the questions that we're raising to you should also link with how it contributes towards, your interventions contributes towards growing the economy in a meaningful manner. We would at an opportune time be able to liaise with you on how we get the CCMA and also how we get NETLAC during this year 2017 to come and account and report to this committee. So members, I'm just saying that I'm tempted to go into NETLAC because of the World Economic Forum and Team South Africa, where we have business, labor, and government together. But we'll deal with that at some other time. If you allow me, you see, many of us have two last questions. On page 63, slide 63, you are talking about labor organizations, applications, if I read it properly. And you say you have received 134 applications, and you have refused 119 within 90 days. Now, the school that I come from says that labor organizations are paramount for laborers or for the working class. Now, why is it? What are the reasons for the refusal of so many of these labor organizations? Let me stop at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Indeed, the performance of the department is very depressing and is unacceptable. I think that any department that is worth its salt should actually be performing above 50%. And that is why when I started by saying, by indicating where we're coming from and where we are today. Just to indicate that we are taking this thing very, very seriously as a department. And one of the things that we have implemented, for instance, is regular monitoring of the work that we do. On a monthly basis, the office of the COO is seized with the responsibility of monitoring and make sure that the work that we said we will do on a quarterly basis is actually broken down into monthly targets. And we track those targets. And that is why we've been able to improve the performance. And secondly, we have implemented consequence management, because all of us here are employed, and all of us we get paid from the taxpayers' money, and therefore we should be seen to be providing a service to the people. So all of us sitting here as a top management of the department, we are aware of the fact that if we're not doing the work that we're supposed to be doing, we should not be where we are. And that's why we're taking this performance. That's why we're agreeing with the Honourable Member that the report is very depressing, and the 42% was even more depressing, because that's not where we should be performing. Like I indicated with regards to the report itself, how the report is structured, we'll provide the information as the committee has required, such as issues relating to government. We'll provide that information as the government, if they the committee so wishes. And that the department is failing the unemployed. There are two things that, in fact, there's one element of the legislation that when it was negotiated at NECLEC, that we wanted to put in the law as a department, was the element of forcing the employers to report job opportunities to the department, which was not agreed upon by all the social partners. So that's the first thing. So placement is a function of two things: the job opportunities, and secondly, the skills level of the work seeker. Now, we did an analysis of the works because that we have on our database. We did them, I think there's a slide that that Ms. Bonko did not present, which looked at the different skill set of the people that we have on our database. It's slide 47, where we've disaggregated the work seekers based on the N2F level. Now, the problem that we're sitting with as a country is a problem of the structural nature of our unemployment. The reality is that most of the people that we have on our database are of low skills, and most of the job opportunities that are placed on our ESSA system require people with high skills. And that's the biggest problem that we're sitting with. What is it that we're doing to deal with the matter? We work with the different fitters and different TVET colleges. For instance, as I indicated earlier on, that there's a requirement in the unemployment insurance fund that if you want to apply for benefits, ordinary benefits, you must make yourself available in the labor market. Now that provision was put there so that the department, through the Unemployment Insurance Fund and through the Public Employment Services, can then provide the necessary skills to those who have lost their jobs, to make them available in the labor market, to make them to be able to compete in the labor market. So that's what we're doing through the program called Labor Activation Program. We take these people who are unemployed, who are beneficiaries of UIF. We train them, and when there are job opportunities, they are placed. However, the issue of unemployment is not only the issue of the Department of Labor. I think it requires a concerted effort by everybody. And as part of the Department of Labor, as part of the economic cluster, we work with other government departments to put people in a number of projects through the program I called earlier on the Labor Activation Program. Now, I think that the chairperson spoke about what our responsibility is as a Department of Labor. Our responsibility is to make sure that we create an environment that is conducive to job, to investment, job creation, and employment. And I think that responsibility, we are carrying it with all the resources that we have in the department. But I think the issue of skills is an issue that you know, Chairperson and the honorable members, that does not sit with the Department of Labor, it sits with the Department of Higher Education and Training. Therefore, when we work with them, what we do as a Department of Labor through the Unemployment Insurance Fund is to provide learners with some sort of a stipend so that they're able to attend training. And the respective sitters are responsible for providing training to these learners. So that's the collaborative effort I spoke about, and that is happening. It may not be happening at a bigger scale, and that is why we have decided that because the Labor Activation Program has registered a number of successes, let us scale it up now. And that is why we are now decentralizing it into provinces so that provinces can take full responsibility of the of this program, like they used to do when we administered the Skills Development Act. Members will recall that we had a program called Training of Unemployed, TUP. So that's what we want to do, working with the different CITAs and the Department of Higher Education. With the issue of counseling, I think the reality is, and we would like, and I'm glad that the Honourable Member is raising this issue. We would like to assist, not only, we would like to ask the committee to assist us. Because when we say we have limited resources, if you look at the number of economic active population, you have just over 16 million of economic active population in this country. And the ratio of a counselor to the economic active population is too high. And the reality is they can only counsel a limited number of people. And we have asked for funding, we have asked for an increase in the number of personnel. And we're now working closely with the Unemployment Insurance Fund to make sure that the number of these counselors is increased. But even that effort is not going to help us to increase it to the acceptable number, which is prescribed by the ILO for a developing country like South Africa. And equally so with the number of our inspectors. You have a ratio of 120,000 economic active population per inspector, which is unacceptable. The required rate is, for a developing country like South Africa, is 15,000 to 20,000 one inspector should be equivalent to about 20 to 15,000 economic active population. So the issue of resources is something that is going to be sitting with us for a long time, given the fact that the fiscus is not as strong as it used to be. Now, I'm not saying this because we want to fold our arms. I'm saying it as a constraint, but we're doing our best as a department to use the limited resources that we have to make sure that we charge the responsibility that has been placed upon us as a department. Well, we will do the breakdown of the fraud cases that the Honourable Member has referred to. Like I said earlier on, we were not too sure as to how we structure this report. We use the format that we have been using all along when we do presentations in Parliament. So we'll change it, we'll provide every detail, especially if the request by the chairperson to the members to indicate exactly what is it that they need is done, so that we know exactly what is it that the committee requires of us. The chairperson spoke about the environment on the compensation of the employees. The environment on the compensation of employees was as a result of a change in an accounting approach to admin staff employed by the sheltered employment sectors. The sheltered employment sectors, they are employees. They were at some point not appointed in terms of the public service regulation. So when we made the change, we had to transfer money from the department to sheltered employment sectors so that their salaries are on par with the salaries offered by the Department of Labor to its officials. So that's why there was a transfer of money from the compensation of employees. The staff that we have, the sheltered employment services, are categorized into two. You have the admin staff, which is largely paid for by the Department of Labor. And then you have the technical guys, which are paid for from the allocation that SEE gets from fiscal, and also from the revenue that they generate through the products that they manufacture in the factories. So we had to do that, Chairperson. On the issue of the labor organization applications that have been refused, well, there's a criteria that the Office of the Registrar has set for organized labor to comply with when they apply for registration. And these 119 organizations were found not to have complied with that criteria, and that's why they were not registered. It's not that we don't like trade unions. we do. We work very well with them. I'm going to ask the Deputy Director General responsible for PERS to talk on the issue of the PERS board that has not been established yet. In the next report, Chairperson Nazir indicated, we will look at the key economic drivers in each and every province, and we will then indicate what is it that we're doing to improve and also to increase job opportunities for unemployed. We'll do that.
Can you indicate to us now, DG, whether you're making progress on the IT challenges?
On the ICT challenges, Chairperson, we're making progress, yes. One of the problems that we have was that our data center did not have the capacity to be able to take the volume of work that we do as a department. The compensation fund and UIF, they have large volumes of data that have to be stored. And we realize that there's a need for us to increase the capacity of the data storage. And that's what we're in the process of doing. So this problem, the ICT problem, I think is going to be the thing of the past. We will not put it as a challenge again.
I have the DGG on the last point.
Okay. Thanks, DG. I think the DG did say that this report is dated because we are now in quarter three of the 16-17 financial year, which has been overtaken by events. At the time, the delay was caused mainly by the preparatory issues. The one was related to the nomination process that the stakeholders had to undertake through NEDLAC and to submit the relevant names, which have since been done, and the minister has now formally appointed the board. The second part had to do with the administrative process where we had to get the appropriate rates and the categorization of the board with the national treasury, and that preceded the formal letters that the minister has had to give after the nomination process. So as we speak in the current financial year, those processes have been completed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, do we have more? Honourable Lund. In that sequence.
Thank you, Chairperson. You know, Honourable Chairperson, I had the response from the DG, and I appreciate that, and the team. But just a quick follow-up. You know, the Employment Services Act, I hear people talking about labour facilitating employment. in some instances. But this act is very specific. And I just want to remind you, DG, that in terms of Section 4 of this act, it states that DG must ensure that the department, right? So you are asked to ensure that the department has the necessary staff, the necessary offices, and the necessary personnel in terms of this act to deliver what is expected of you. Now, the question is, you have spoken about resources and you have spoken about the challenges, and your minister is not here, and the deputy minister is not here. I'm not sure about the reasons, Chair. I'll just speak to you privately to understand this whole thing, but they are not here physically today to assist us. And we have, your explanation was that you don't have resources, but you understand that you are failing. But the act is clear that the DG must ensure that the department, including provincial offices and labor centers, has suitable personnel, must ensure. It's not discretionary, it's peremptory, it's obligatory. You must maintain labor centers at which members of the public, that is South Africans, are able to access public employment services provided in terms of this act. 2 years ago, Parliament passed this legislation. And now, what is envisaged in this legislation? Section 5, the department must provide the following services. They are listed there. So there is clear tasks that must be executed by the department. And the department really now cannot use excuse that we are simply facilitating employment. They are clear tasks. I just don't want to waste time, but I wish to refer you back to the Act and see that as the DG, the South Africans have entrusted you through Parliament when the legislation was act, what needs to be done. And the DG is the administrator of this act, or the administration of this act is in your capable hands. I want to believe that your hands are capable. But be that as it may, I want to go back to the next question. My next question will be not on the ESSA now, will be on the different, will be really the supported employment enterprises. Quick question. Over 1,000 kilometers of fabric processed for hospital linen, over 45,000 cubic meters of solid wood made into school desks, and yet we are still referred to as disabled. Now, I got this, you know, this is one of those aeroplane magazines. This is a beautiful, article I read that they supported employment enterprises under the Department of Labor. Now, let's talk about that for a moment, because I don't find it in the presentation. Are you able to give us a breakdown, you know, in provinces? Because in your annual report, I read that you've got about, I'll tell you now, you've got about 12 factories. That's what it says here. 12 factories, 899 employed. Now, the statistics in South Africa today, and it's not that it's in steps, but the statistics in South Africa today is that we've got more than 2 million people who are disabled. They are 7.5% of the national population. And I don't want to break it down to the provinces. But if you look at you look at what we have been able to accomplish, you've got these 12 factories and 899 people employed, 899 vis-a-vis the 2 million plus disabled people in this country. Now, I want to know, what is the challenge in this space? And are you able right now, or must it be a follow-up question, to give us the breakdown, you know, in provinces by province, how many people, which factories are in this area? I know in Eastern Cape it will be in Port Elizabeth from the annual report, and how many people are employed there in that particular, you know, region. So you give us a breakdown and unpack it as the region. Thank you, Chair.
Makwebu, you're raising two things. DG, I'd want you to give us an answer. But however, I just wanted to check with you. The ESSA aspect that you're raising, would you be happy that what we do is what we were talking to Honorable Varda about earlier on, that when we look at the next presentation of the committee, that we put down those responsibilities that you mentioned in ESSA and ask the department, particularly, what have you done in terms of the act and those responsibilities?
Yes, sir.
Are you happy?
I'm happy with that. Thank you.
Thank you. But then still tell us what we don't want to inhibit you in terms of what you are prepared to answer to us today without giving you too much time. I've noticed Honorable Lont and then Honorable Ntebe, and then we'll have Honorable Wouda as the last one. So we'll take all four of them. Honorable Lont, please.
Chairperson, I won't put anyone on the spot here, but I'm going to submit a written question on it, because said that the department take responsibility for the performance, and I quickly went through it and I see about 13 million was paid over in performance bonuses. So I'm going to submit the question as to what was, if there's more, what was the performance bonuses, and if that gets linked, the percentage payout, to the outcomes achieved as indicated by the department.
So do you want them to respond to you now, or do you want to...
If they have it, great, but I know it's not something they might have at hand.
Okay. Honorable Ntebe?
Chair, I just wanted to check whether... Because I have great sympathy towards your department, DG, but I just want to see if you're going to be sympathetic to my plea also. That in all likelihood, there should be a different kind of expectation by the select committee, different from the portfolio committee. I'm sure you're following me. Because in all likelihood, if the portfolio committee in the National Assembly goes through the same report, and the same report without any amendments, without any material changes come to the select committee, then we're not serving a purpose. However, sympathize with the department, and I take the challenge by the chair that probably from our view as the committee, we should be able to elevate and tap out issues that we want to see in your report so that we can then shape the content and the nature of the report that we want to see moving into the future. So Chair, I agree with your divine intervention that we will do that. But I think from where we're sitting also, the reality is that we're sitting with dynamics that we are in the third quarter, dynamics that pretty soon we'll be dealing with now, the next, which is, so from where we are, at least you get the gist of what we want to see the department moving into. And that's why I limited earlier, Chair, not my issues to a comment, not clarity-seeking question, because it would have become cosmetic. What we want to do is, let's take the challenge, write whatever submissions that we want to see in the report, submit to the department so that the department can be able to tap out issues that we want to see. What is dynamic and change the nature of the report is that we would want to see that flavor from provinces, the things that we can touch and feel, so that we can be able to check for moving forward. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I think it's more a comment. Honourable Wouda, the last person, please.
Thank you very much, Chair. There really isn't very much that we can say this morning. I mean, most of the members are speaking like fighters. We're even divinely inspired, so I'm just going to... I'm going to be very...
1 minute remaining.
I'm going to say a lot, being brief, not Tory. Okay, we've labored most of the issues already, but I want to come back to the slides. I'm wondering that, you know, to add to the fact that there isn't a great performance by the department, your targets also, to me, in a number of the slides, seem to me very, very low. I'm talking specifically about slides like I think it was 25 and perhaps 25, 26, 27, around those slides there. You know, the problem is the iPad doesn't give you the pages. Eh? Okay, then the other thing is on slide number 28, I noticed Mpumalanga performed very badly, and being from Mpumalanga, I just was wondering why is this? And then the other issue I noticed is that in some of these slides, I've noticed that we have identified, or your department has identified people that employers who have not complied. But yet, you know, we have failed to do something about this. So we failed in achieving the targets of dealing with these, I don't know if offenders is the correct word, I'm sure it is. Slide number 33, if we could just go back and review, or just, I'm not happy with that slide. It just doesn't look correct when it is being presented. The other thing that I'm just now departing completely is I'm wondering whether you're departing...
Sorry, Honorable Bona. What's your problem with slide 33?
You know, if you look at it, you know, the percentages are high, but yet they've grouped them as red, and I'm wondering what's the reason for that. You know, if you use the traffic lights that have been used, you know, green, orange, and red, they're all labeled as being red, but yet I'm looking at the percentages are like 80% and so on, so why is it still then in red? Shouldn't it be either in amber or in green? Okay, I missed something there, that's why I'm asking about. I want to ask about the lily mine in Mpumalanga, whether the Department of Labor has realized there's been a number of job losses there. What is being done at this mine, whether the Department of Labor is looking into it at all. The other issue is the agricultural sector, and I'm not going to be much longer now. The agricultural sector, whether you are targeting the production of cash crops on farms, which is far more labor intensive. A lot of our farmers and in the agricultural sector, there is this great move towards crops or towards farming things such as sugar and wine farming is the big one here in the Western Cape. But I noticed also macadamia is on the increase. And these are not labor intensive, you know. Cash crops are labor intensive and they also contribute to the food basket. So this is one way of creating jobs, and I'm wondering whether you are engaging with other departments to look at addressing these issues. You've mentioned the vacancies, the fact that you need people with high skills level. So I expect to see the Director General and his ministers the next time the students are fighting for fees must fall, because free education is the way to go to solve that problem. But my final issue is with regard to minimum wage, which we will be establishing in a couple of years' time, hopefully, inshallah. What is your department doing, and how are you going to monitor this, and are you preparing for that development? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Walter. There's quite a number of them. Can we say we give you 10 minutes to see if you can cover them all, DJ?
On the issue of Section 4 of the Employment Services Act and the responsibilities that have been that the DG has entrusted with in terms of the Act, well, a number of those responsibilities are subject to the availability of funds. On a regular basis, when we prepare our inputs to the ENE, the Estimate of National Expenditure, we look at the resources that we require as a department for us to be able to do the work that we do, and we make those requests to National Treasury. And if we don't get an allocation, in fact, for the 2016-17 financial year, we were supposed to have been given an allocation for exactly what the Honorable Member is raising, for us to be able to discharge the responsibilities placed on us by the Employment Services Act. But the allocation was withdrawn. And the reason for that was that there are other government priorities that must be funded. And it's exactly the same thing with the inspectors. An amount of about 67 million was taken from us, and we were Treasury promised that they would give us the money in 2016-17, which did not happen. So this does not in any way saying we must not be creative as a department. we must use the limited resources that we have in a very effective way. And that's exactly what we're trying to do. And we would like to be able to discharge these responsibilities as contained in the law. But unfortunately, we're very, very limited in terms of having more people than we have now. And we've accepted that reality. But we don't stop submitting our request to National Treasury based on our needs. And that's why I was saying I'm also hoping that the committee will help us as well. With regards to the number of SEE employees versus the number that we have per province, we at this stage, Honourable Member, I'm unable to provide you with that information. And the reason is that traditionally, SEE appears in front of the committee as a separate entity, just like the CCMA in South Africa. So we did not include it in the presentation for that reason. With regards to performance bonus, we will respond to the question once we get the written question. We'll provide the information in this question. The comments that the questions and the targets are very low. What we've always tried to do as a department is to make sure that our targets are aligned to the resources that we have. It's not going to help us to set high targets when we're finding it very difficult to achieve the ones that we have set for ourselves at this stage. So targets are based on the resources that we have. Mpumalanga has not performed well. And this is a matter relating to the DG reviews I think it's the issue relating to employment equity. One of the challenges that we've had is that in some instances, the non-availability of the CEOs, because what we do is once we do a DG review, when we have to present the recommendations, we need the CEOs to be there. And if they are not available, they request postponement, and at the time of the reporting, the meeting between an inspector and the CEO of the company would not have happened, and that's why it would reflect as an underperformance. In the following months, the meeting will take place and it will serve the recommendations to the CEO. I think it's just a question of that. It's not as if that work has not been done as far as those reviews are concerned. We have failed to do something about non-compliance. I think if you go to slide, slide 31, you will see that 97% of the workplaces that did not comply with the law were firstly served with the notices, and secondly, 217 were referred to court. Now, the difference between the number that we have, the number of notices given, and the number of employers sent to court, you have a variance. And the variance is simply because once an inspector issues a compliance order, the employer has 14 to 21 days to comply with the compliance order. Once that compliance order is complied with, we then take it out of the non-compliance register. And our experience is that in most cases, once the notice has been issued, employers would comply with it. It's only those few cases that the employer would not comply with it, and then will take the matter to court, and it becomes an opposed matter, and it drags on and on. So the 217 cases are cases that were referred to court. So we do something about non-compliance. Well, with the Lily Mine in Mpumalanga, our department has been in contact with the Department of Mineral Resources. And there are a number of things that we want to do that I'm not in the position to divulge now. But we're trying our best to make sure that the workers are assisted. And when the time is right, we will make that announcement. So we are doing something to make sure that the workers' lives, we do not allow them to to go deeper into poverty. I'm not in a position to say what is it that we're doing before we concretize it, Jefferson. With the farming sector, we are engaging with other government departments, Department of Agriculture and the Department of Rural Development and Land Affairs. There are a number of projects that we are part of, and through our program that I mentioned earlier on, of the labor activation program. So we are working with other government departments exactly to deal with the issues that you raised in terms of the different crops that you can plant. With regards to the national minimum wage, we will be in a position to monitor the minimum wage. The good thing about the minimum wage is that it will have less variations than we have now, because you have the different sectoral determinations, and each sectoral determination has its own wages. Now, with the national minimum wage, if you're going to have variations, it's going to be very, 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 very minimal. So it will make the life of an inspector much easier, because you will be enforcing one wage throughout the sectors, except those sectors who will be excluded if we decide that there should be exclusions. I think those were the questions, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. We have had a rigorous session. I think, in summary, it's going to be important to say two things. The one is that the committee expresses deep concern about the performance levels. And we would want to urge you, DG, to make sure that you deal in a rigorous manner with ensuring that the 2016-17 report would show great improvements. We are, however, then secondly saying that we will continue to engage with you. Honourable members, I will just now present the program to you, which you have a copy of. And from our program, it is apparent that we would not be able to have any engagement in this session with you before May of this year. We will have to decide which departments we will engage with in May. But that's a long time. So we would want to urge members, then on that second point as well, to engage with the chairperson of the committee to raise those issues that you still have as concerns. If there are odd issues, the chairperson can bring it to the committee, and we can then agree to communicate in writing to the DG, or we leave it to the committee to decide exactly how you'd want us to propose with that. But let's not bolt the horse before we have fed it. So let's get all that information from you first. To then, with that, say thank you very much, DG, and your team. It is apparent from the engagement that as this committee, we have high expectations from the Department of Labor. We would want to see our people's labor rights respected and them being treated in a dignified manner, and that they are adequately remunerated for the work that they're doing. We've not dealt with the issue of disabilities. You have brought in the sheltered employment issue early on. I would like to engage with you, Honorable Mohwebo, on something that we need to do to just test what has been shared with us. But it is an area of big concern for us. You have addressed it in your annual report, some elements thereof. But we would want to say that just because we didn't raise that as a question doesn't mean that we are not giving attention to it. In many of our oversights, we are looking at people in sheltered employment. They are of the most vulnerable people in our society. We are unfortunately not able to do justice to the plight of domestic workers and farm workers. But we leave that with you. We're monitoring what it is that you're doing in that space. Thank you very much. Can we seek your indulgence just for 3 to 5 minutes with us, just while we go back to some of the committee business, if you wouldn't mind staying with us until the meeting is adjourned. Colleagues, members, it's been brought to my attention that we have two sets of minutes, the minutes of 29th November and also the minutes of the 24th of January. But then, if you will allow me, I see in the minutes of 24th January, there is also the question of the committee program and the adoption thereof. So I'd ask you to allow me to present that to you once we have dealt with the minutes. Martins?
No.
Okay. Honourable members, the minutes of the Tuesday, the 29th of November, we met in this place. The members present, just so that we know who can second and speak on it, is Hai, Ntebe, Mtimunye, myself, Bauda, Lund, Faber, and Mahwebu. So all of us. Oh, Dikhale wasn't here. She's the only one that wasn't there. We received the report from the IDC during that meeting. We then deliberated on that report on page 4, and then we had an update on the international study tour that was meant to happen on the 13th, 21st of January on page 5, and then we considered the minutes of two previous meetings. Then we had item 6, any other commitment business, and I just wanted to highlight there the last sentence in that minute, which says that he, which is a member, further requested the CEO of the IDC and his office to submit a list of projects with their profiles in order to assist the committee in drafting the oversight program. That's the oversight for Mpumalanga. Now, that being said, can I ask for, we'll come back to that just now, and that's why I'm reading it to you, the IDC request. Can I test whether we have a proposal for the acceptance or not?
Jefferson, I did raise the issue around the Go George, the George Link, and the interaction between the lot, and also the concern about the road connecting Tembale to the bigger George. Are we going to leave this off the minutes?
No, no. We're dealing with the minutes of the 29th of November.
I'm happy with that one.
You propose to accept that one?
I'll do that.
Okay. Ntebe?
See, I want to second with the slight amendment.
Sure.
That, take, for instance, under item 6.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, and also conventions of how minutes should be captured. Can we agree, in according to my recollection, Honorable Ntemunya raised this, but it was agreed to by the meeting. Can we agree in future that we manage to say the meeting resolved, that ITC will then send, so that we don't individualize issues that are raised in the meeting?
Okay.
Thanks.
If there's agreement. And there was agreement in this instance.
Okay.
We noted that. Which is not necessarily a correction, but a way forward for us to professionalize our operations. Okay, so that minute is proposed by Honorable Lond, and with that, I don't know what to call it, improvement on the drafting of the minute, seconded by Honorable Ntebe. Now, Honorable Members, to say two things there, just as matters arising. Grace, did we communicate with the ITC? We didn't. We did. Okay, so we've communicated that request with the ITC. The second thing is, Honorable Members, on the study tour, which is mentioned in the minutes, I have a letter here from... I have two letters. The one is a letter from the House Chair of Chairs, Honorable Nyambi, indicating that we cannot go on the study tour without further elaboration. We subsequently learned that the Cuban authorities, well, were just overpowered by delegations from South Africa, from local governments, provincial governments, to national government departments. They had like 6 groups of South Africans visiting them post the death of El Camarade. So the NCOP chairperson knew about that. He didn't communicate it in that detail to us. However, I then received a mail when I arrived at my office this morning from Durko, where Durko is saying that Cuba has not, looking at what's happening in the United States with the appointment of a new president, Cuba has not worked on their economic policies and the matters that we wanted to engage with them on. And that letter makes absolute sense for me. Makes no sense when Cuba is in this transition that we go there and engage with them and then find 3 months down the line their policies are completely different. And we've got there on the study tour and everything that has been shared with us is changed dramatically. And the change is going to happen. Whether it is good or bad, it is going to happen in Cuba. So that's an explanation, just as a matter arising on those two matters. Can I then go to the next one, Honourable Members? The meeting that was held last Tuesday, the 24th of January, the members present were Chai, Dikhale, Vauda, Lond, Faber, and Mokhwebo. The presentation was done by the Department of Transport on page 3. On page 4, we have the deliberations of the committee, and then we have the 2 resolutions of the committee. Honorable Ntebe, if you were heard. There's the resolutions here, there, 2 of them. And then we have item 5, the consideration of the minutes and the program. The minutes of the meeting could not be adapted. It was deferred to today, and the meeting was then adjourned. Can With the change that is mentioned by Honorable Lont about, do you have the Via George link? Do you want to repeat that, please, Honorable Lont? He is asking that we add this to the minutes.
Yeah. Also learning from today, I'll make sure that there's certain things that I want added to the minutes. I'll stipulate it so that when I refer back to it, there cannot be said it hasn't been raised before.
So, are you going to give that to the secretary in writing? Because I was giving you a chance. Grace is saying that she doesn't know what is it about Bayer George. You have it? I wasn't here, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Just one quick one, Chairperson, before we move for the adoption of the minutes. I note that despite or notwithstanding that you mentioned I was present, which indeed I was present, but the record does not reflect that. I don't see my name here.
No, your name is on the second page, on top.
No, then I've got a different set of notes. I don't see it even on top on this one.
It's like Cremora. It's on top.
No, Chairman. No, Chairman. It's not yet. May the record reflect
it's
that.
It's in my minute.
Okay.
Maybe
I've got a different set.
Take this.
If it's there, maybe, but before me, I don't.
Do you have a page two? Because we can't.
I do.
We can't have a situation where we have two different sets of minutes in one meeting.
No, that's the problem. It's 1-3. That's the problem. Now I understand. You are the only one with page 2 where my name is reflected, and I've got no page 2.
That's the advantage of being a acting chair.
Yeah. I leave it in a capable hand, chair, but for the record, I was present.
Yeah, it's recorded as such. Thank you. Can we get a proposal for the acceptance of that minute then with that amendment by Honorable Lont?
What's written on page 2 that I'm not aware of?
It's just the names of members, the apologies, and then the ministry, department, and public entity representatives that were there. And then it just has the heading for the parliamentary support staff that you see on page 3. So it's the apologies and the departmental and public entity staff names. That's not that. Are you with that proposing acceptance on the law? Okay. Second, Honorable Dikhale. Honorable Dikhale seconds that. That minute has a resolution that says the information requested from the department should be submitted within 7 days. That means by today. Two questions. Have we received that?
Yes, we received. Thanks, Chair. We received the information yesterday and it was emailed to the minister.
Okay. And now I've seen that. I didn't know why I received that for a meeting that happened last week. Now it makes sense. Okay. So, as a matter arising, that action, that has been action, and we've received it. I think we should minute it. As such, we have received it and appreciate that it was within the time frame. Honorable members, last item. Our program for the rest of the term. You have seen the program. I'm worried when you look at the program and you look at the Z list. We follow the program, what is on that. If you look at the Z list, there's one meeting for today. We have two. The Z list doesn't indicate a meeting for next week, Tuesday. We are meeting next week, Tuesday. We're not meeting next week, Tuesday. We're meeting the week after that. We're meeting the 14th. Next week is the NCOP event. Sorry? Strategic planning. The NCOP strategic planning on Tuesday. And The program also then indicates that we will have our oversight in March. And that is part of our plan. We apologize to you that we could not have the oversight the beginning of this year. I'm getting contradictory excuses for that, so I wouldn't share it with you. Does the program need to be adopted in the meeting? It doesn't need to be adopted in the meeting. But we're presenting it as courtesy and allowing you to express yourself if you have problems with the program. Honorable Vada, you're happy with the program. Okay. We have that program before us, and you'll see that this latest version of the program can also be reconciled with the program of the Select Committee on Trade and International Relations, on which we also serve. So it is the same. That said, thank you very much, honorable members. We hope that we will all be here at 2. Martins, I thought that you were going to arrange lunch for us. Have you? Please talk to us.
Yes, sir, I am preparing hot lunch for us for 1 o'clock.
Where?
In the venue, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. And the colleagues from the department are free to join us. Particularly the colleagues. Let all of them come and join us. Is there enough food for all of us?
It wasn't that hot lunch is scheduled for the next meeting. So we have relocated for this meeting already this morning.
No, it's the same people.
No.
The department of...
In the second phase of the day, sir.
Yeah. No, these same people, you're going to see them again. Okay. Here's the boss of...
No, fine.
Thingy South Africa. Productivity SA. Okay. Thank you very much. Honorable Dihale has the last word, then we close. We'll have to discuss that.
Sir, by instructions by my boss, sir, due to financial constraints, we have the case of parliament members and staff only.
Are they not staff?
No, they're not from parliament. I'm referring to parliament staff and the members. It's by the house chairs.
Martins, please, Honorable Dihale is responsible for members. So, can you send me a note so that we take it up with your boss? You see, it's un-African. And we'd like to discipline you.